former X Division champion and number 22 on PWP's Top 25 of 2022, Mike Bailey here, and you are listening to Pro Wrestling Proverbs with Logan and Anthony.
Come on in. Happy 2024. The first episode of Pro Wrestling Proverbs in the year 2024. Logan, do you believe we, as a podcast, have made it to 2024, starting back up again all the way in 2021?
I know. It's crazy because we've talked about it a little bit. We started, we had that Jeff Jarrett podcast. And then we started doing the reviewing every show format. We did that for a few months. And when I say every show, I mean every show. I also talked about TNA results at the time.
Yeah.
It wasn't fun. It was draining.
We even had like a weekly like independent wrestling podcast called
Indie Impulse.
I think that might make it come back here in 2024. God. You can talk about all the indie promotions around here.
The most fun for me in that era was, I complain about it a lot, but it was fun. The one Mark's mailbag about Braun Strowman's partner, and then the wrestling DIY, which would eventually become Logan's Scripture. That was fun. Then after that era, we came back a little bit during COVID. We thought we were gonna have a longer time to work. The place I worked at made it seem like I was going to be off for a while. Joke's on me, it was 2 days. We uploaded sparingly there. Then we came back, and since then we've had press passes, we've went to events, we've, you know, had some traction on YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter. I'm posting written articles now. Both on magazine memories and wrestling in Detroit. So, I mean, I think we're doing pretty good.
Yeah, we got a lot of content coming out in a bunch of different areas.
I think at this point, we clearly don't hate it and it's not draining us, because if we hated it and it was draining us, we wouldn't be putting out so much different types of content.
Yeah, and we wouldn't be staying up into the hours of the night when it's the only time we can record to come on and do this for you.
Yeah.
So we do it because we love you. But
yep, so I mean, 2024, first video of 2024, new year, new us. Let's talk about the one of the happiest things in wrestling, Curse of the Von Erichs.
Yeah. So the reason why we're kind of up here recording so late, as we posted whenever you guys wake up, I guess, is I just got back from the movie theater. I know I seen it kind of late.
Yes.
I went to go see Iron Claw, the Iron Claw. Logan went to go see it a couple weeks ago, I'm pretty sure.
I very much enjoyed it. I was excited for it.
I got a question for you, though, real quick.
Yeah.
How many people were in your theater? We need to go see it.
It wasn't full. I'd say about between a quarter and half the theater was full, I think. But I also went and saw it the day that it came out.
So, me and my fiance went to go see it.
Yeah.
That's two of us. And I'd say that's about half the audience. So, I got
we
got a private screening of the
Outlaw. There's the group we went with. And behind us, there was a lot of wrestling old heads. Like, when, you know, Ric Flair or Harley Race would appear. Oh, Ric Flair, oh, that's the king, Harley Race. And then, you know, there's old people. We were probably the youngest ones there by far.
Yeah.
But I was very excited for it. I've talked about it in great length in here. The Von Erichs are some of my favorites when it comes to historical. Started with, you know, the meme, the joke. Legends of Wrestling, of course. Fritz, Terry, Kevin, David, and Mike were all on there. And then I've just learned about him since, read many books, watched a couple documentaries. Kevin Von Erich is one of the few wrestlers that I consider like a white rabbit of meeting. I'm very excited for it to come out. A little skeptical when I heard Zac Efron was playing Kevin Von Erich, because I thought he looked more like Carrie to me. And then I told you before recording this, I realized before watching the movie, they're not going to kill Zac Efron, so he has to be the one who lived. Spoiler, Kevin's the one who lived.
I'm pretty sure most people going into it probably knows what happened, which was, it's kind of hard for me to judge like how good of a movie it is. Because I know what happens. Like, I know the ending. It's hard for me to, like, build up the suspense that they're actually trying to build. I notice things like when Carrie, like, gives Fritz the gun, like, on Christmas.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, I wonder what that's for. I wonder why they're showing this scene, huh? I wonder how that's going to come back into, like, why are they focusing on this gun so much?
It's, we talked about it beforehand, too. This movie, and then I also saw Godzilla Minus One within the past month, and both of those, within those communities, the endings are supposed to make you feel emotional, you're supposed to, you know, teary-eyed. I didn't get that from either.
Well, you know, Logan, I think you're just like the you're part of the problem that they bring up in this movie. You just have toxic masculinity, and you can't cry. And so it's okay. You can cry.
It's okay to cry.
It's okay to cry. You could cry.
He'll be my brother too. the Von Erich thing, like you said, I knew what was coming. I know all the beats. Yeah. I knew all of it. Like the joke when I first saw the trailer, and it, you know, show. I joked with my wife. I'm like, oh, it shows everything already. Because if you know, then you see everything. You're like, oh, that's that. That's that. That's that. That's that.
I did my best to avoid that, because I knew that's what would have happened. I'd be watching, like, okay, that's this beat. That's when this is gonna happen. I'm gonna go see in the movie. Like, I'm already fighting or struggling to break the immersion of, I know, like, these characters' fates, and trying to enjoy it. So that's why I try to avoid the whole trailer thing. Because A24, I think that's just kind of like their thing. Because they had a preview before the movie. I don't know if you had the same previews. I had all A24 movies as the trailers. And that one with the lady from Twilight. I already forgot the name of the movie.
Yeah.
They showed like the entire fucking movie like in that trailer. Like,
yep.
I just watched a minute and a half movie. Like, I didn't know how that one's going to end. So now I can go see it.
They always do that. And like all A24 films, they leave out bits and pieces here. That's kind of like for the shock value. But yeah, it was a good movie. Had some wrestling in it. Chavo Guerrero actually was in the first wrestling scene. I think he was supposed to be portraying the Iron Sheik. I could be wrong.
Shiance asked me if that was Iron Sheik, and I was like, I don't think so.
I think
it's kind of racist to say that anybody when the headgear is the Iron Sheik.
Well, the guy outside of the ring wasn't the Sheik. His name, oh shoot, he was a heel manager, and he teamed up with Gary Hart a lot. But he was a bad guy in WCCW.
Let me see if I can find it for you real quick.
Yeah, he managed, like I said, it was him and, no, it wasn't that. But anyway, he and Gary Hart were the two main bad managers. They managed everyone in the territory that weren't the Von Erichs. And then they also showed, like, Bruiser Brody, which I think they made him a little too short and a little too fat for the real Brody. They showed Gino Hernandez, which I think they nailed him. They showed Harley Race, which I was very impressed, even with the guys talking. Really reminded me of Harley. Ric Flair could have been better. Acted like Ric Flair. He kind of talked like Flair did. He just didn't look like him. And I know Ric Flair has an issue with how he's portrayed.
Yeah.
It wasn't a Ric Flair movie.
And I understand that, and this is... I told my fiancé this too on the way home. Because I heard about it going into the movie, that the actor...
The gentleman's name was Skandor Akbar, by the way.
Okay. Do you know who played... who's the actor that played Ric Flair?
I don't know who played Flair.
Because that's the... Aaron Eisenberg. That's the thing I heard of going into the movie negatively was, I think you said like Ric Flair commented on it or something, and it kind of made it around that like, the person playing Ric Flair is kind of off. And so it might be biased because I had that thought in my head going into it, but what I told my fiance on the way home is, you know, Ric Flair already is such an over the top personality. Like in general, like it's like he's all in
right. his
character. It's hard to replicate that unless you're also kind of like all in on it. It kind of felt like the actor portraying him like didn't really take it that seriously, maybe. And it looked, he acted like he was acting like Ric Flair, like a cosplay, other than trying to be Ric Flair, like the person. But yeah. I don't know who could have done it better. Maybe they didn't have anybody else better. But
and I guess looking at this, Chavo played the original Sheik from here in Detroit. And also looking at this, Ryan Namath, brother of Dolph Ziggler, portrayed Chino Hernandez.
Yeah.
He did a very good job. And then, of course, for a brief second, MJF was Lance Von Erich. I think the other Von Erichs were portrayed well. In my head, still, I think Kevin and Kerry could have been flipped with how they look. But you're not going to do that because, like I said, you're not going to kill Zac Efron. I think they did a good job with Mike. My only complaint with Mike is later in his career, he did have brain damage from a high fever, which I'll get into later. To me, it seemed like the actor had the damage the whole movie.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know if that was a creative thing. I don't know. It was just odd.
It was off-putting at first, for sure.
Yeah. But, I mean, it was a very good movie. I think the people that say if you're a wrestling fan, you won't like it are wrong. And I think the people that say if you don't know about wrestling, you won't like it is wrong. It's a very good movie. It is very emotional. Well,
how did you went to go see it with your wife? How does she like it?
Yeah.
So, no, she's not. She doesn't know the Von Erich. Same with my fiance. She doesn't know.
She gave it she gave it a 4 out of 5. She actually I told her a lot about the Von Erichs beforehand, before this movie even came out. We went to Squared Circle Con, the only movie I bought, I think it's the only movie I've bought at these conventions so far, High Spots put out a Von Erich DVD. And I'm always curious in seeing how an independent, like High Spots, compares to WWE's telling of it. Mm-hmm. So she didn't know, like, all about the Von Erichs, but she knew about each tragedy. But again, that's because I can kind of just roll off the top of my head. And that's the same part with this movie. I noticed the bigger things. I didn't nitpick it like I'm sure some people would and be like, ah, did Kevin actually wear these tights when he fought Blair? I noticed things just to kind of just quickly chop it down the list. They made it seem like Mike Von Erich started wrestling and then got hurt and then killed himself. Mike Von Erich had a pretty long... it was a longer career. He was undefeated. He actually was the PWI Rookie of the Year. So it's not like the movie makes it seem where it seems like he's incompetent in the ring. What they did is they combined Mike and Chris. Chris was the younger Von Erich. He wasn't in the movie. And they kind of combined their stories. The director didn't feel that the audience could handle another big tragedy. But yeah, Mike wrestled a long time. He actually won the 6-man tag titles with his dad and Kevin Von Erich the night that Kerry won the heavyweight title at the David Memorial. David, they didn't have the conversation at Kevin's wedding. They had the conversation about not dying at the kitchen table. They mentioned how Von Erich, it'd be the first time they challenged for the title. My only issue with that is the biggest feud the Von Erichs had was with the Freebirds, and that started with a NWA title match where with Kerry and Ric Flair. They kind of made Kevin seem jealous, which everything I've read and watched, like I said, I've seen quite a few documentaries on it. I've read a couple books about the Von Erichs, or about just people from the area and the territory. Kevin wasn't jealous. He liked working with his brothers. I think Kerry and Dave would be the more jealous types. They made it seem like it was a shock that David jumped Kevin in skill.
Yeah.
But as I was telling you beforehand, Kevin also played college football. David really didn't do any other sports. So when he got into wrestling, he put all his focus into it. Kevin would have to come back to it, as people did at the time. David also got to be seasoned. He went to Florida and worked with Dusty Rhodes. So that's why he did so much better. The biggest discrepancy, I guess, in the movie is, like I said, they left out Chris Von Erich, which I feel if you want to do a A24 movie and you want to make people really be sad, really be connected, and I would not leave out the younger brother who wanted to wrestle. He wanted to be like his brothers, but he was too short and he had brittle bones because of asthma medication. He was finally brought into the ring after David and Mike died. He went through all the training. He did all the steps. He did what he could. And this was after, you know, they tried having him draw comics or be, you know, behind the camera. He wanted to wrestle. Did a drop kick like they had Mike do in the movie. He landed wrong. Kevin had to pull him to the other side of the ring, tag in. He then killed himself because he didn't feel he lived up to the Von Erich name. And Kevin found him. And when he picked him up to see what was wrong, Kevin tells a story that the thumb went into the bullet hole. So I don't know. I think leaving out the one brother, because they kind of made it seem like Fritz forced them all to wrestle, which yeah. I don't agree with. The first three definitely wanted to do it, especially after Kerry couldn't go to the Olympics. Mike, like I said, he wasn't as gung-ho. He still wanted to do it. But Chris wanted to be just like his brothers. So I think leaving out that one, I know it was years down the line, and that's probably why they didn't include it. But it just, knowing the story, it left a hole. I also noticed that they made it seem like Kerry lost the title because he lost his foot. Everything I've seen, he was stripped of the title. He lost it back to Flair. He didn't hold himself as champion. NWA champion at the time, you think of the Harley Races, the Ric Flairs, even the Dusty Rhodes, the fur coats, the suits, they looked the part, they talked the part. Kerry didn't. And when he got in the motorcycle accident, he didn't instantly lose his foot. It got repaired. There's varying stories, but he stepped in a hospital bed and crushed his foot again, so then it had to be amputated. That was two things that were kind of separated. And then the other big moment that I think they left out, after the other brothers had died, after Boris, their mother, left their dad, Fritz had cancer. He was sitting in the house with Kevin, and he pulled a gun on Kevin and said, "Why don't you have the balls to do like your other brothers did?" Again, I think that would have been a big emotional moment you could have included.
Yeah.
I do think the scene that they had with Kevin and Fritz later on in the film was just as emotional, but I think that having Fritz kind of trying to goat Kevin would be a big one. I think I went through and rattled off all the big moments that I don't think they purposefully did it. I think it was to help the story progress.
Yeah, this movie's already like over 2 hours long.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, with the story of the Von Erichs being so
Well, that's one of the complaints I saw is, oh, they didn't touch on Fritz enough. Well, Fritz had a damn near 20-year career, and he was one of the top heels in the business, him and Waldo Von Erich. I mean, that's a whole other movie. A man from Texas trying to keep his family alive, so he starts out as a Nazi, and then he becomes the all-American Texas boy when he goes back. I mean, that's a story in itself. Or even, you know, Kevin with his sons and how they've kept the Von Erich name alive. How they went to over to Israel and fought because they're still so popular over there years after the Von Erichs have stopped wrestling. It's just... They could do a trilogy, really, of the Von Erichs' life. I mean, and it's not an exaggeration. I know they show at times where it's like they're almost bigger than Jesus in Texas, right?
Yeah.
Kevin tells stories of having to walk down the ramp, one hand covering his genitals and one hand covering his mouth, so that way people aren't grabbing him and kissing him. On that same notion, he's been on Raw, AEW, and TNA in Texas and put the claw on someone. The crowd erupts like he was on TV last week. The Von Erichs get such a big pop in Texas. It's crazy. I think that's something else that they didn't truly utilize in the movie, just how popular the boys were. Like you said, there's only so much time they could do.
Yeah.
They hit each point. The ending, I'll just say a little cheesy for me. A little cheesy.
Yeah, just a little cheesy.
Someone I went and saw the movie with compared it to the end of the Barbie movie, where, you know, I haven't seen it yet, so I don't know if that comparison makes sense. But everyone that I was with, that made sense to them.
Well, the end of the Barbie movie. Spoiler.
Okay.
Because the whole concept of the Barbie movie is that the real world and Barbie world are kind of colliding, and the stereotypical Barbie, Margot Robbie, like the main character, like she's getting cellulite. Her feet aren't always in the shape of a heel anymore. She's flat-footed, and she's having thoughts of death. So she travels to the real world or whatever, starts breaking it, and then somehow at the end of the movie, you know, everything's great. Save the day, but she goes and lives in the real world now.
Oh.
With everybody. So she gets to do
both. Okay. So a little cheesy. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Alright. I mean, and if you like that type of movie, sorry I called it cheesy, but you know. the Von Erich one, I guess you just spoiler I guess you'd call it the first ending or the brother's ending.
I guess you can interpret it like maybe that's what Kevin was thinking at the time. Maybe that's what his imagination while he was sitting there, because it did cut back to him after that.
That's so true.
Maybe they weren't implying like it's something that's happening at the time. But
yeah, it's after Carrie ends his life, and it first starts with him walking on the grass. You know, both his feet are there. And he keeps walking, and then it's eventually to like a little river, a little creek area where the brothers were shown hanging out earlier. There's David, there's Mikey, and then he asks, where's Jackie? Who, of course, was the oldest brother. Well, Kevin's older brother way back when. And then they're all there, and they all hug, they all embrace. Which maybe that is what Kevin wanted. I think that took me out of it a little. Like, you had all these moments, then that happens.
Yeah.
Then they have another ending with Kevin kind of older. The only weird part about the movie that I found is I'm surprised they didn't have Kevin Von Erich in it somewhere. Like, the real Kevin Von Erich. Usually in these type of movies, yeah, usually they have him as a cameo, like, whether he's selling popcorn or, like, a priest, something. But I don't know if maybe they didn't do that because he's not recognizable by everyone. So, like, wrestling fans would see him and be like, oh, that's Kevin Von Erich.
Yeah.
But the typical person is going to be like, why is that fucking old guy talking to Zac Efron? Get him off the screen. I don't know. I was expecting a Kevin Von Erich cameo.
Get this fucking old guy off the screen.
I wasn't expecting a Chavo Guerrero one. I wasn't expecting such a short MJF one.
I heard like the MJF kind of hyped it up. Thing got like cut down a lot, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Cause you said he played
Lance Von Erich.
Yeah.
So the story of Lance is in this territory, WCCW, a lot of times they'd want three Von Erichs on a show, sometimes four, depending on which part of the timeline you're in. So you could have it where it'd be a singles match and a tag match, or a six-man match, or sometimes, if it was a big night, single tag and six-man, where they fight again. Well, between injuries and deaths, they introduced a new Von Erich, Lance Von Erich. It was Kevin Vaughn, who was a respectable wrestler, but he had been in the Texas area before. And the fans knew this, and they knew that the Von Erichs were liars, which still blows my mind that the Von Erichs, a team put together by Stu Hart, wasn't their real last name, ended up having this family where the fans complained that there's a fake Von Erich. None of them are real Von Erichs. But I guess that's Texas for you. But yeah, that's he was supposed to be Lance. And it showed him briefly. And it just showed Kevin being disgusted teaming with him. That was about it. Which Kevin hated it. Kevin was the one that said not to do it. I'm assuming they cut it just for time reasons, and they probably didn't have enough time to truly tell that story. Because then if you tell that one, then you have to tell Fritz Von Erich faking a heart attack to try and get fan sympathy, yeah. Or you have to show Kevin Von Erich going to an old ring and seeing messages his brother wrote him after they'd passed away. Messages like, hey, Kev, love you, Kev, love working with you, Kev. And then that caused him to quit. You'd have to include little beats like that. So they cut Lance down a little bit, showed Kevin being just disgusted teaming with some random. MJF was cut. Now, it's funny, though, because if you Google Iron Claw Cast and you click on it, he is the third one. Zac Efron, Jeremy Allen White, Maxwell Jacob Friedman, then Lily James. The other big things is I think the guy that they got to play Fritz nailed it. If you go watch a Fritz Von Erich promo, especially when his boys are wrestling.
He also kind of looks like him, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Did a great job with it. I don't think I'd seen him. I guess he's been in a lot. But I couldn't have recognized him from anything else. Looks like he's usually in fight movies and action movies. So maybe he found his niche playing Fritz Von Erich. He did really well.
He was in Fight Club.
And Lights Out.
And Monster Trucks
on Netflix. But yeah, he did very well. I think out of all the Von Erichs, he nailed it the most. But all in all, really good movie. Like I said, and that's with me noticing the things that are incorrect. The historical inaccuracies, I still really enjoyed it. It was a great way to truly end 2023, seeing that and Godzilla Minus One. I would love to see them both win some sort of awards. And it's kind of nice, you know, years ago, and we've talked about this on the podcast before, something like Godzilla or something like pro wrestling, kind of, you wouldn't get bullied for, but it'd be like, why are you into that? Why do you collect that? Why do you watch that? And now they're both, like, at the forefront of American media. It's kind of cool. Everything that I grew up, like, kind of hiding, I can now be like, yeah, I liked that. Oh, horror movies? Oh, they're not stupid anymore? Yeah, I like those. Yeah, oh, video games?
Video games are movies. Yeah.
Nerdy.
Yeah. The Iron Claw... They give positive reviews from the general public as well. It's got an 89% on Rotten Tomatoes, certified fresh, and a 93% audience score
on Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah, I definitely, I'm glad with how it turned out. I know at first when I heard it, I kind of heard they're making this movie, I kind of rolled my eyes. Because I thought they were just going to focus on, like, tragedy. Or I thought it was going to be, like, fighting with my family, which I didn't really like.
I have not seen
it. But then I realized WWE wasn't involved, so they weren't going to, like, fuck it up.
Yeah. It wasn't produced by The Rock or something.
Yeah. Which I think Kevin had a hand in it. Because even though they made Fritz look like an asshole in the movie, from everything I've read and seen, he was a lot worse. But, you know, that's how Kevin wanted his dad to be, which he's even said in interviews, oh, they were pretty mean on Pop. You know what? Whatever, sure. Yep. I'm just, like I said, I'm glad this kind of gives another chance for people to learn about the Von Erichs. It is definitely an emotional story. It gives another side of wrestling. I think you put it up there with Benoit's when it comes to tragedy. Up there with the Graham family, if you haven't read about them, when it comes to tragedy.
So let me ask you this question real quick before we wrap it up here.
Yeah.
If A24 specifically, let's just keep it in house.
Oh, boy. Okay.
That's probably maybe the only way that we get another one anytime soon.
Okay.
Or maybe somebody else could do it. Who knows? What other like wrestling movie like in this style would you want? Like focusing either like, on a tragedy or a family. That would even come closer. Because this thing has a lot. I think the story was carried by its actors.
Oh, yeah.
Zac Efron did an amazing job in this movie with the story they told. But is there anything that sticks out to you? For me personally, I think if they want to just like copy and paste this movie, do it with the Hearts.
You could. The only issue is there's so many other Hearts and not... They all didn't have, like, each Von Erich had a tragedy. Because, I mean, even Kevin outliving everyone else. There's other Harts where they kind of just lived life and nothing really happened. Like Keith Hart. He became a fireman. That was about it. I would like to see the Grahams. And that would be Eddie Graham and his son Mike Graham. There's a lot of suicides involved in that family. The Superstar Billy Graham story would be one. We've touched on that on here, where he found God, and then unfortunately he found steroids and he found drugs. I'm surprised the Benoit one hasn't happened yet, but maybe A24 will do that if, yeah, you know, it's ever truly allowed.
I wonder if, like, WWE kind of stops before it even gets started.
That's what I'm thinking. Either that or maybe Benoit's dad.
Because I didn't, like, imagine like a movie based on like Chris and Nancy, like their love story, and then the tragedy being like the gut wrench ending.
I think Ricky Dozen could have a good movie as well. You know, getting killed like he was.
I think me and you both agree, because I think Chavo said it. I think Chavo wants a movie on the Guerreros. I think we both think
that.
Great idea.
No, because I mean, Gory was a good promoter and he was a good wrestler for his time. Chavo Sr. did create some moves. Gory and Hector were a good tag team, but really the focus would be Eddie. And I mean, you can only do so much about a guy fighting his demons, right? And then he'd come back and win. And then end the movie, you'd have to be like, hey, you know how everything just turned around for this guy? Yeah, he's gonna die. Oops. And then Chavo. I wouldn't do that. I think The Rock's family would be interesting. Not so much The Rock himself, but like Peter Maivia and Rocky Johnson. Especially with some of the stories coming out about Rocky Johnson now. The one that I've always thought would be a good movie would be Dusty Rhodes. In the early 2000s, late 90s, Cody Rhodes has talked about it in promos, where they had no money in the family, and Paul Heyman kind of brought him to ECW, and he got his confidence back. Or even Ric Flair going from WCW to WWF in the 90s, where he got his confidence back, where, you know, a once decorated champion is flabby and out of shape, and, you know, The Undertaker wants him as his Mania opponent, so he gets back into shape and gains his confidence. The other one I'm surprised hasn't been made into a movie is Shawn Michaels' life. More like those late 90s, but I think with how well this movie performed, there's a chance that other wrestling stories get picked up. It's just a matter on if WWF owns them.
Yeah, I can see it.
I mean,
especially CA24.
Even like a fun, I mean, not necessarily fun, but could you imagine a movie on like Perk Angle? That'd be entertaining.
Yeah. Yeah. Or
so many they could do. Bruiser Brody's last days.
Just
what they think happened.
Just look through the dark side of the ring catalog and take a pick on which one you want to give a budget to, essentially.
Yeah, a budget and then the real story, not just old wrestlers who want a paycheck. Yeah. But, yeah, Iron Claw, definitely worth it. Whether you like wrestling, you don't like wrestling, it was good. I think it's going to be one that's going to be talked about for a while. It definitely should be considered for at least some award. We'll see if it gets there. And it definitely lived up to the hype.
Yeah.
Or MJF's going to have to find another movie to begin his movie career, though.
Do you have a star rating or anything you'd like to give it?
I think I will give it a 4. It's not a perfect movie, but it's damn good.
Yeah, well, I find it hard to give any movie like 5 stars, especially like, you know, it has to be like my favorite movie of like all time.
Yeah.
And is this like my favorite wrestling movie of all time? Like, actually, movie, not like documentary or anything.
Right.
Maybe. It doesn't have much competition.
No.
I'd probably right now say yes. But like overall, it doesn't break like my upper echelon of favorite movies of all time. I don't think so. I'd probably give it like a 4, maybe like a 4.5. Because like you said, like it just felt like, from a movie standpoint, like, it's very, very emotional, very sad.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody in my theater was crying. It just felt like it kind of got, like, rushed. Like, I would like to, like, have,
yep.
Like, stay in some of the moments longer. It's like, oh, Carrie died, and we're on to the next thing.
Yeah.
Michael died, and we're on to the next thing. Blah, blah, blah. And it never... I know, like, it's already a long movie already, but, like, show, like, they didn't show, was it Michael, the one that went out, like, that took all the pills and, like, walked out? Like,
yeah.
He just walked out and showed, like, the note. Like, stay at that beat, like, for a little bit longer, show him, like, out there.
Which, again, they could have even added more emotion and suspense to the movie, because Michael, when he left... They were on a. They had to send like cops and everyone out because they didn't know where he went. It was like a 4-day. They couldn't find him.
Yeah.
Helicopters, dogs. So that could have been a part that they stuck on. Like I said, I think there's parts. And I touched on it with Chris. I touched on it with that. Even showing Carrie, like, oh, my foot's repaired. I'm gonna be fine. And then imagine showing him stepping out of bed and shattering his foot again.
Yeah.
That would have, like, destroyed people watching it. But I get it. You know, you can't crush people's dreams at the movie theater. You gotta give them a little hope. They use movies to escape from reality, not to, you know, go home and wallow.
Well, that's what my fiance did. She said that this movie, like, devastated her. So...
Yeah, I mean, and if the movie devastated you, but you want to know a little bit more about the Von Erichs, besides the great WWE documentary, the Triumph and Tragedy of World Class Championship Wrestling, we also put out a podcast about the Von Erichs.
Yep, it's going to be re-uploaded, so you don't have to go searching through your podcast feed. Right after you're done listening to this, it should be the next one up. So yep. That's been re-uploaded. We recorded that last year, so it's a couple months old.
Yeah.
I don't think it's more than a year old. I know it's still relatively new. It's something I think we did around this time last year.
Yep, around the time that they announced the movie, I believe.
Yeah. So,
and then we go deep into it,
kind of like however our other like deep divey podcasts. So go check that one out. That'll be the next one in line here on whatever you listen to, whether it's YouTube or Spotify or podcast. It should be available on everything again right now.
And then we will also be sharing on our Facebook, Twitter, and then it's up on our YouTube on our PW Profiles playlist. There's a profile on the Yellow Rose of Texas, the first victim of the Von Erich tragedy, David Von Erich.
Yep, so go ahead and listen to all those. And that was our review of the Iron Claw. Make sure you go out and see it. I think it's only the theater runs only for about another week or so. I heard there's some trouble of people having trouble finding at their local theater. I have this really locally owned, small local owned chain in my area, and they had it, and they've had it for the past couple weeks. So I don't think it's that hard to find. You should be able to go out and find it.
No.
Go give it a watch. Support media like this, because like we talked before, you know, we talked about other wrestling movies possibly being made. That won't happen unless the box office numbers get up. Right now, it's estimated at about $17 million. I'm assuming the budget wasn't close to $17 million, so I'm assuming this did go positive, especially with the positive reviews and everything like that. So, The Iron Claw, in theaters near you right now. Go watch it and go listen to the Pro Wrestling Proverbs companion episodes on the Von Erichs.